Hello, welcome back to Divide It with Jill. I'm Jill, so if you're new here, I talk about all things pop culture, movies, TV shows, music, books, and musicals. Everything here is spoilers, but if you're a recurring listener, welcome back. So last week, I talked about movie musicals, and now this week, I am talking all things Nicholas Sparks. So if you don't know who Nicholas Sparks is, he is an American romance novelist, screenwriter, and film producer. He has created the most iconic romance stories that you know and love. So The Notebook, A Walk to Remember, The Last Song, The Best of Me, The Choice, The Longest Ride, Dear John, Safe Haven, like so many iconic stories. And a lot of his books became films. And I'm here to talk to you all about the stories that became movies. And yeah, I watched every single one. So you're probably thinking, why did you watch all of Nicholas Sparks' movies? What possessed this? So I was in this mood where I was just wanting to watch a bunch of rom-coms, and I watched Lindsay Lohan's movie The Irish Wish, which was really cute, and then I ended up watching like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, such a good one. Like every time I watch that film, I feel all the feels. I always feel the exact same as when I watched it the first time, if that makes sense. And then I ended up watching No Strings Attached. And then I watched Forever My Girl on Netflix, which is a pretty good film. It was a little sad, but not as extremely upsetting as all of the Nicholas Sparks movies I'm going to talk to you about today. So after I watched Forever My Girl, A Walk to Remember like popped up as a recommendation, and everyone and their moms has seen this movie. And apparently they played this movie in one of my classes in high school. Like, was I absent this day? Or did I just block out the memory because it was just so sad? Even my friend from high school commented on one of my TikTok videos that I made about this movie. And she was like, did we not watch this in class? And honestly, I genuinely do not remember watching it. But I do remember watching The Devil Wears Prada in my theology class. And we had to unpack Andy's character development. Good times, good times. So I decided to watch A Walk to Remember, and thinking back, I really chose violence watching it. The way I sobbed. I couldn't breathe by the end of this film. But honestly, like, what's new? When am I not sobbing? For some reason, I've been watching a lot of sad things lately. Maybe I should switch it up and start watching something like a little bit happier. Although it is upsetting, the movie is incredible. The chemistry between Jamie and Landon. I don't know if Nicholas Sparks is involved with the casting, but it was perfect. The buildup of their relationship was really natural. The bad boy, nice girl trope. Love it. I feel like Landon wasn't even that bad. It was just like his friends were such a huge influence into like how he is. And so that's what made him like rude and like bad boy. I don't know. And then, you know, he starts hanging out with Jamie and he starts to peel back the bad boy layers. I love how at first he was like, it's not going to be a problem. I won't fall in love with you. Babe, you got bamboozled. I think in my opinion, when he really looked at her in a different light and possibly was like, I'm in love with you. I'm so in love with you, was when he saw her sing Only Hope. He said, oh, I'm in love. I'm in love. That's the one. That's an incredible song, by the way. And the character development of Landon was incredible to watch. He grew so much as a person, and Jamie was a huge part of his journey into becoming a better version of himself. And at the same time, Jamie also learned from him and got to have this incredible love before she passed. I actually might start crying again. Oh my god. They say this thing in the movie. There was this scene with Landon and Jamie's father, like towards the end, where Landon's like, I can't believe she never got her miracle. Oh! And then the dad's like, you are the miracle, babe. Oh, her death was so tough. There were so many scenes in this movie where I was like sobbing and like losing it, especially when Landon went to his dad and he was sobbing and asking him to help. Like, snot was coming out of my nose. And then when Jamie's dad went to see her at the hospital And honestly, everything after she told Landon that she was sick, I was crying till the very end. But, you know, even though she passed, they did get to have a wedding and have some, like, time together and really got to enjoy each other. So I'm just going to pretend that the film ended right there and that everything else after that didn't happen. Just pause the film after that moment, after the wedding, and then you'll be good. So after I watched this movie, I was curious about more stories Nicholas Sparks has created. And then I was like, wait, now I need to binge watch all of Nicholas Sparks's movies. So the next one that I watched was The Choice. Wow, this movie actually blew me away. It was so unexpectedly good. I'm sitting over here like, oh, nothing's gonna beat The Notebook. And I'm like, wow, this one was amazing. I, like, honestly did not expect it to be this great. You know, it did start off really steamy and fun and flirty and so good. The chemistry between Travis and Gabby, I'm obsessed. Kicking my feet. There was actually this scene of them in the kitchen and he's like, why are you making it so hard for me to flirt with you? What? The tension builds in this scene. He starts, like, walking towards her. They kiss and she's like, why did you do that? And he's like, because you bother me. Oh my gosh, stop. This line becomes like the iconic saying in this movie. I love when you watch a film and there's something that the character says that's, like, memorable, and then that becomes what everyone refers to when you think about this movie. And so, I don't know, his character was very Bridgerton-coded. Like, is Shonda here? Shonda! And then the proposal scene is iconic. She's like, I don't love you. She's trying to deny the proposal, and the parents outing her, saying, girl, be for real. Be for real. The parents were so funny in this scene. His whole speech, though, was everything. My favorite part is, like, when she says no to the proposal, right? And he's like, well, yes. And she's like, no. And he's like, yes. And then he goes, come bother me, baby. Come bother me for the rest of my life. I can't. Screaming, crying, throwing up. There was so many special moments in this movie. And then the unexpected happened. A twist. So she gets into an accident. And this literally rocked my world. I could not stop crying after that. Like, every scene was making me so emotional. When he visited her in the hospital and he's like, I wish I could breathe for you, baby. Oh my gosh. Bye. We gotta go. He's like, come back to me. Come bother me. Oh gosh, I can't. But thank God. Thank God it was a happy ending. Like, she wakes up from the coma. They have children. And the dogs. I'm so obsessed. And so after she wakes up from the coma, they have one final date. And she's like, I heard everything you said to me. She was like, you were breathing for me, baby. Oh, that got me. That really, really got me. Like, what an incredible film. Honestly, like, top six faves from Nicholas Sparks. I will stand on this hill. Anyways, moving on. So I watched Dear John next. This was also a sad movie, but happy ending. So Savannah and John, they're so cute in this movie. Even that opening scene of him going into the water to get her bag. Who was gonna do that in real life? Like, nobody. Absolutely no one. Like, who is doing it like John? And do you remember the part where he's like, you don't drink, you don't smoke, and you probably don't sleep around? And she's like, I curse. I remember hearing that on TikTok thinking, where is that from? And now I know. I love being a part of the joke now. But you know what I do hate? Is that they make you fall in love with both of the characters and then they separate them until further notice. Like, he goes off to war and then she stays back. But I really did like that she developed a really nice relationship with John's father. John doesn't really have a great relationship with his dad. They kind of have, like, a love-hate relationship going on. But, oh, when the dad is in the hospital, I lost it. John wrote him a letter. I was sobbing when he was reciting that back to him. And the dad was just, like, laying there. John says, like, this was the very last thing I thought of when I got shot. And then he starts crying. Oh my. And then the part where John and Savannah are having dinner and he's like, why didn't you call me? And then she's like, hearing your voice, I would have changed my mind. Oh my God, that was so emotional. That whole conversation that they had. Although the father passes away, it was a happy ending for John and Savannah. And they did see each other at the end of the movie and they did like a hug. And the relief that I had, I was like, oh, good, good. I was like, great. This is what I needed. But you know, what didn't have a happy ending? The Best of Me. The happiness doesn't last very long in a Nicholas Sparks film. They did Dawson Cole so dirty in this film. First of all, his family life is awful. Everyone was just so mean to him. They did give him Tuck, which is the best thing that has ever happened. And I love Tuck. He's such an amazing character. His relationship with Amanda, of course, was everything. But even that had so many ups and downs. Like, couldn't catch a break. And then they had to kill him off? The shock that I experienced when I saw his death. I couldn't stop crying. And oh my gosh, the part where Amanda and her son are having a conversation on the phone and the son tells his mom that the person that gave him a new heart was Dawson Cole. Oh my God. I can't believe they made the son like almost die and then made Dawson die. Like, I need a second. I was like, why? Jail to this film, jail. This movie had so much action, romance, thrill. There was so much going on, but I will not accept that ending. I will not. But okay, apparently there's an alternate ending that everyone is telling me about, but I'm like, where is it? Where can I see this? Let me know where this is because I hated that ending. Hated it. So the next movie I watched was The Longest Ride. Wow. Yeehaw, 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 baby. Luke Collins. I need a cowboy right now. This unlocked cowboy era for me. Actually, no, I lied. When I watched the Hannah Montana movie, that's when I was like, wait, I need a cowboy. But this just heightened the cowboy obsession. He is so cute. Are you kidding me? Like, what? Hello? I did love his romance with Sophia. And then they introduced another relationship in the movie, which I thought was so heartbreaking. Ira and Ruth. Oh my. Everything that they went through. And the part where she's like, I can't do this anymore. She leaves him and he says to her, I've always been in love with you. He loves her so much. He thinks she should go and be happy, even if that happiness no longer includes me. Rip my heart out of my chest right now. Like, are you for real? Oh, that was really, really emotional. But then she comes back. She reevaluates the time apart and she's like, okay, I need to be with him again. She loves him too much. Thank God. Thank God. Honestly, their romance stole the show for me. I love the steamy cowboy romance Sophia and Luke have. Yes, Luke and Sophia did have some hurdles and drama between them in the film, but Ira and Ruth's story just stole the show for me. Like, ugh, so good. And then the portrait of Ruth at the end and the fact that now Luke gets it and all the paintings. Oh my gosh, it's so perfect. It's so perfect. I indeed did cry again at the end. That whole sequence in the auction. Ugh, wow. Great film. Okay, next movie is Safe Haven. This one stressed me out. Every time Katie's ex-husband came into the screen, I wanted to throw everything that surrounded me at the TV. If he doesn't leave the plot in the next second, I will throw a fit. He was the villain of the story, Mr. Kevin. Even his boss was fed up with him, hated him. He was insane in this movie, setting the house on fire, sneaking into homes, abusing Katie. I didn't think she was going to make it out of the story, you know? But spoiler alert, Alex and her love survived. Oh, Alex saying to her, you'll be safe with me. Oh, so romantic. And then seeing Joe, his ex-wife, who was not actually alive. I was shocked when I found this out. I was like, I have chills all over my body. Chills. This movie to me was more shock value than like sobbing my eyes out. Like it was more thrill. I mean, there is a lot of like sad parts, but I feel like there was more action, if that makes sense. Now, if you want to cry, you should watch Knights in Rodanthe. Oh my goodness. This is an older film. I love a good throwback film. Dr. Flanner and Adrian, they were so cute. And let me know why I low-key had a little crush on Dr. Flanner. I was like, okay, he's kind of giving. He's giving. Even the way they met was really cute. How everything progressed between them. The part, though, that really got me weeping was when she was reading the last letter he wrote to her. And don't even get me started when she sees all of the horses. Because earlier in the film, he mentioned something about one day you'll see, like, the horses. And then at the end, after he passes away, she sees the horses. Ugh. I lost it. Nicholas Sparks strikes again. The amount of crying I have done and continue to do with these other films I'll be telling you about is actually so crazy. The next one that I cry to is The Last Song. This is like my second time rewatching The Last Song. And wow. I sobbed at the same parts. The little brother, though, really, really got me weeping. When he was crying, I'm crying. And when he told Will and Ronnie that he needs to finish making the stained glass window, oh my goodness. So, so heartbreaking. And when he speaks to his dad and the dad is like, every time the light shines, stop. Oh God. Every time the light shines through the window we built, he's like, you can think of me. Oh my, I cannot. And then, of course, when he passes away, Ronnie plays the piano at his funeral and the light shines through the window. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? But then we have the romance with Ronnie and Will. This is one of my favorite on-screen TV couples. Like, pulse check. They sold me the romance. I was kicking, giggling, screaming, crying, screaming, throwing up. They had a scene. Oh, it was giving. It was everything to me. When Ronnie was playing the piano for Will, and you can tell that it's basically like an instrumental version of When I Look at You. Ah! Cultural reset. Even like their first kiss in this movie was everything. Their little aquarium date, and even when they were frolicking in the beach and he was putting like the shells around her. Oh my gosh. The car scene where they're singing that Maroon 5 song. Electric. Electric. And then they go to his house and they get like mud all over themselves and they start like hosing each other down. What? Call the nurse. Call the nurse. You know, another movie that is a cultural reset, I will say, is The Notebook. Everyone knows The Notebook. This is like one of Nicholas Sparks's like most famous stories. And the movie is popular for a reason, girl. This is another movie that I've watched but haven't seen in a while. And wow, it felt like I was watching it again for the first time. It was unbelievable. Amazing plot. Another amazing casting moment. Both Ali and Noah, like the younger and older version, they gave me all of the feels. Like that giddy feeling. It didn't feel forced. It felt so real. What I did find a little funny and goofy, but also like, I feel like it works for the plot, was like when he started hanging at the carnival. When he asked her out on the date. That was funny. There were so many parts of this film that made me cry. Like when the kids come to visit, I got really emotional. The part where she remembers him at the end for a little bit and then she forgets. That killed me. That ended me. An actual towel had to be used because the tears were just never ending. And of course, when he visits her at the end, cut the cameras. Cut the cameras. Also, wait, side note. Did you know there's a Notebook musical? I don't know if I would survive the night. I would need multiple boxes of tissues. If you've seen it, let me know what your thoughts are. But yes, the next movie that I watched is The Lucky One. Beth and Logan. Wow. Unexpected, but I liked them. They had some steamy scenes in this one. Kind of similar to The Longest Ride. Like they had like a shower situation. Wait, they both had shower situations. Nicholas Sparks loves a shower. So the concept of this picture being his good luck charm while he was in Iraq was like really interesting to me, and just how the story unfolded. The ex, Keith, really got on my nerves the entire time. And then that ending was crazy. And then Keith dies? Very intense, very much thriller vibes. I'm seeing like a theme in a lot of these movies. There's always something that's gonna shock you. something that's going to emotionally get you.
And of course, a romance that you will not be able to stop thinking about until further notice.
Honestly, I feel like these characters are going to stick with me for forever. The last Nicholas Sparks movie that I watched and that I will talk about in today's episode is A Message in the Bottle. This one's another older film. I thought it was a really, really cute movie. And seeing Garrett's character grieve his wife who passed, and then he talks about how he falls in love again, and just the whole concept of the letters in the bottle is really, really cute to me. But I'm upset he passed. I mean, how many people are shocked? Someone is always passing away in a Nicholas Sparks movie. Oh God, the tears were streaming. I've noticed a theme with a lot of Nicholas's movies. Obviously, everything will make you cry. It'll also make you kick your feet up in the air, make you fall in love with a male lead. I am the one falling in love with a male lead every single time. I get so invested in all of the characters. He does love rain. He loves the stars and the moon in a little PG-13 scene. And he loves the South. Every movie he has made is like in Louisiana, Florida, like places like that. And of course, like he's the romance king. Like, who's doing it like Nicholas Sparks? Like, I am obsessed with everything that he has made. Genuinely, I'm so used to Shonda Rhimes' stories where all of these fictional men are created by women, or even like the books that I'm reading, they're all created by women. And so it's an interesting take when a man is writing all of these beautiful love stories and all of the guys are just pouring their heart to these girls. Ugh. And the things that all of the characters say in his stories are so impactful and so romantic. Ugh, I'm so impressed with Nicholas Sparks, to be honest. I know he has a book coming out in September, I believe. And he teased one of his books is becoming a movie, Dreamland. I'm very excited. Anything that Nicholas Sparks makes, I'm gonna love it. So I'm very excited for everything that he has coming out. But if I were to tell you what was the craziest plot as of right now, but also made me cry, Best of Me. And then the one that made me cry the most, honestly, a tie between The Notebook and A Walk to Remember. I literally could not stop crying at both of these films. It was crazy. I would say Husband Material, Travis from The Choice. Oh, but also Ira from The Longest Ride. I'm obsessed. Wait, because also Noah was a good one. I don't know if I could pick. Okay, top three. Those are my top three. Travis, Noah, and Ira. Period. But then again, Nicholas Sparks has so many amazing fictional boyfriends in his stories. But I'm going to be honest, when I saw Luke Collins in The Longest Ride and Will in The Last Song, I needed to check my pulse. Nurse, hello? Like, instant heart eyes immediately. But Husband Material, Travis from The Choice. And Ira and Noah, of course. But an underrated Nicholas Sparks movie, Nights in Rodanthe. You should definitely watch that. It was really, really good. And I think my all-time favorite Nicholas Sparks movie is The Choice. Happy ending. Great chemistry between two leads. I love the come bother me baby line and you were breathing for me baby. Oh my God, I'm so obsessed. And the movie made you cry. You got invested in the storyline and like there was a little bit of thrill. So The Choice is my favorite. But Nicholas Sparks has a lot of content coming out soon, so who knows, this might change, but as of right now, it's The Choice. And then I would say my favorite couple is Noah and Allie, but every single couple in a Nicholas Sparks story is incredible. But Noah and Allie, they're selling you the fantasy, they are selling you the romance. They're iconic for a reason. Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling gave what they were supposed to give. Also, James Garner and Jenna Rollins, yes, we love to see it. I would just say, just watch everything. Do what I did and just binge watch everything. You won't regret it. You really won't. Every single story, every single character, impactful, romantic, everything. Okay, so before I end this episode, I have to tell you my divided moment. You're literally not ready for this. Okay, so my first one is about Joe Jonas. When am I not talking about Joe Jonas? But anyways, he has been teasing these songs on TikTok. Not one, but two. Like, what's going on? I actually made a TikTok
the other day saying what is happening. I've been seeing Joe Jonas post a lot of B-reels in the studio, and I'm not sure what's going on. Is this for DNCE? Is this for the Joe Bros? Or is this a solo situation? Joe Jonas doing a solo album is sending me. That will be the end. I will go absolutely feral if that is the case. I don't know. At first I was like, okay, maybe it's like a single, because I've only seen him in the studio maybe like one time. He posted a picture with like Nick and another time with Kevin. So I'm thinking maybe it's not for the Joe Bros. The songs that he did tease, it doesn't sound like something DNCE would release. And so now I'm steering towards the solo music. But is it going to be an album, or is it just going to be like singles? Divide it. Divide it in half. What is happening? Joe Bros fans, Joe Jonas stans, let me know what you think. My other divided moment. Okay, so I recently just found out what Bruno Mars's real name is. I found this out by watching a TikTok video of Brooke and Connor. Okay, if you're not familiar with Brooke and Connor, Connor's the one that says I have purse on TikTok, like that sound. Please tell me you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, this is really embarrassing. And then I love how this is how I'm introducing them, like what? They're both in the social media space, they have podcasts, they create content. Anyways, I saw this clip of them talking about it, and apparently Bruno Mars's real name is Peter Gene Hernandez. What? Since when? Who's gonna tell me? Why was I living underneath a rock and I didn't know this? Like, that's crazy. I have so many questions. Like, how did he come up with Bruno Mars? That's so interesting. Anyways, that literally shook me to my core. I was like processing for about 20 minutes after I watched that clip and found this out. Yeah, those are my two divided moments right now. But let me know what yours is. And let me know which is your favorite Nicholas Sparks movie. Or maybe you just read the books. Tell me the tea. So yes, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to follow Divided with Jill on TikTok and Instagram. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye!